This is an encore broadcast of Jefferson State of Mind.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hills. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter, Jefferson State of Mind.
Mine.
With our producer, Ashley. How are you, my dear?
Good. Preparing for Travis's birthday tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yeah. I spent most of my weekend working on that.
What's he going to be like, 63?
44. Okay. On 44.
Really? I was off a little bit.
On 22. So it's kind of a mathematic one, which is more entertaining to me than to him, I think.
Still just a pup.
Yes.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're also podcasting worldwide on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and this is archived, so you can share it with your friends and listen to it anytime you want.
There you go.
So with that, we have two special guests with us. We have Rachel Hamm. And we have her son, Ethan. How are you two doing?
We are great, and we are so glad to be with you today. Thank you, Terry.
Anyway, it's great to have you here. Rachel is running for the Secretary of State position in the state of California. And, Rachel, tell us a little something about yourself.
A little something about myself. Well, I am passionate about honest elections, and at this point, I am very concerned that it's possible we don't have honest elections.
Possible.
So I am here to make that happen.
That sounds great. You know, a lot of people really don't know what the Secretary of State position is. They don't know what the jurisdiction is. They don't really know what it encompasses. And a lot of people just sort of vote, maybe because you have an R behind your name or a D behind your name. Mm-hmm. But give us some background so the listeners can find out what it is exactly the Secretary of State of California does and your jurisdiction.
So my jurisdiction is the entire state of California as the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State is the Chief Elections Officer. So I am basically the supreme being, but that sounds a little weird. But I am the one over all elections within the state, over all the county registrars in all 58 state or counties. And the Secretary of State is the one who makes sure we have honest elections. He or she is the one who certifies the systems that will be used for voting, like the Dominion software and all that. That was the Secretary of State that made that happen. And I would be the Secretary of State that would make that not happen.
You know, the counties do have jurisdiction over that. The boards of supervisors can cancel that contract at any time.
Yeah.
And yesterday we were doing a town hall, and we had people there from the Election Integrity Project in California.
Yes, sir.
And we were talking about that, and we're fixing to get rid of our Dominion machines here in this county.
Great.
Now, what kind of support have you gotten from people? And I know that I've heard you speak. I've watched some of the things that you've talked about, and I'm really encouraged, first of all, by your faith and really encouraged on the integrity that you have. Tell us a little bit something about yourself that way and what your belief system is.
Well, I am a passionate Christian. I believe that my relationship with God is everything, and it's foundational to everything that I do. It's foundational for the way that I think, the way that I operate, the integrity that I have, the standards that I have. And, you know, part of why I'm even running for Secretary of State, first of all, is because I feel called by God to do it, but also because I kept saying somebody who cannot be blackmailed or bribed or bought needs to step up and run for Secretary of State, because I think it's the most important position in the state right now. And it's one of those that's overlooked, right? Like, it's not very sexy. No one really cares about who Secretary of State is. No one even votes on it, actually. It's one of the least voted on positions. I think because people don't understand it, don't really understand the importance of it, right? They're uneducated about it. And I was too. I understand. Like, before 2020, I get it. A lot of us had no clue how important this position was. But because of my relationship with God and my faith, I am the kind of person who will tell the truth no matter what, who will expose fraud wherever it exists, including within my own party, which I'm about to do, and who can't be blackmailed, bribed, or bought. You know, as far as I don't have something that can be held over my head and get me to you know, cower to any kind of blackmail. I can't be bribed. I'm very secure and stable with who I am, who my real provider is. It's not anyone who can bribe me. I don't care about money. I care about what is right and good and true. And so my relationship with God and my faith is going to be just absolutely central to why I will be a great Secretary of State.
And I think that's great. You know, it's one of the things we've been trying to sort of rewrite in the way people think, and that is that, you know, people talk about their constitutional rights. We don't have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights protected by the Constitution. So, you know, I think that's so important that you're faith-based and where you come from. Now, you mentioned the Republican Party, and I know when we started the Tea Party, my wife and I started about 20 of them. And I know when we started the Tea Party, our biggest obstacle was the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how people, you know, how that works, you know. And I hear you've had a little bit of problem with that, too.
Yeah, when I first started running, I have someone who is mentoring me in this process, and his name is Floyd Brown. He's the owner of the Western Journal. Maybe you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually worked for President Reagan, and he ran for president at one point. And he told me, Rachel, I promise you, in this process, it will be your Republican friends that will hurt you the worst.
Mm.
And boy, has that been true. You know, well, I mean, I say Republicans in air quotes because I think that what President Trump tried to point out to us about the term RINO is so important. There are so many people who are not Republicans. They're fakes. They're liars. They're cheaters. They're thieves. And they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they've come into our party to infiltrate it, to sabotage it. And they're alive and well in the state of California, and I've encountered them. Unfortunately, within this process of running, I was the only Republican running for – I've been running for over a year. I started campaigning, opened my committee last March of 2021. And so, I mean, I have a lot of momentum. I really am on track to make it through the primary. And then the state chairwoman began advocating – for other people to jump in the race and run against me at the last second. It was the day before the deadline. So I've already been campaigning for a year, have lots of traction, getting ready to sail through the primaries, and our own chairwoman gets someone to run against me. So clearly, thank you for exposing yourself. You're a RINO. We now know who you are. Now, a lot of people already knew that, but that was my first experience with realizing that the leader of the Republican Party within the state of California is a fraud.
So then she was able to bring in three other Republicans because there are four Republicans running
Yeah. That
are on the list of Yeah. The seven people. And we have, one Democrat, one Green Party, and one Party Preference.
Correct.
So you were the first one out of the chute, apparently, right?
I was.
As far as the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other three are there for diluting it so that the Democrats will win again. Is that the plan, do you think, by the Republican Party leader?
Hmm.
I would think that actually is.
I mean, because that's
yeah.
what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single time. I mean,
yeah.
Look at Pelosi, for instance. I mean, how does she stay in office? Because
yeah.
they do exactly that every single time.
Yeah, they've sent some people from the left over to the right.
Yep.
To sabotage us so they can keep winning.
And then they go back.
And then they go back.
And then they go back. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, our state chairwoman is a woman, and she really is very vocal about really needing to get Republican women to rise up and be leaders. Well, I know of myself and one other female candidate who are doing that very thing, and she's tried to sabotage both of us. As best I can tell, she's lying.
That's not
about
very,
that intention.
That's not very good for the leadership, is it?
No.
But the way she came into office, too, was very hinky, if you want to put it that
mm-hmm.
way.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that. Yeah, by proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does that work? Oh, I don't know. It's just one of those things that's like, you know, the Dominion Machine playbook, it's all part of that process. And
yeah.
we had some leadership, they're not leadership, they're representatives for our Republican Central Committee here in Shasta County because I am a voting member on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I represent District 3 here in Shasta County, and there are several of us that were in the know of what was going on, and a couple of the people that went to the committee down in Sacramento, they went to the conference, they were abundantly frustrated and mad because they were lied to by the people at the convention who are fellow Republicans, so they say, and they were lied to about who to vote for and how things were going to work out. Right. So they were doing it on good faith and trust, and then find out that it was thwarted by putting her into that office.
Well, you know, and as I'm seeking to serve we the people, right, I'm listening to the people, and what I'm finding is we have a lot of delegates who believe that that her elections have not been honest. Now, I don't have proof of that. I'm just saying that that's what that they're claiming to me, that they're concerned that that is possible, maybe even likely. So and then also that the endorsement process that we're in right now has also been tainted. So there's some very interesting things that have happened. I don't know. Are you familiar with the GOP endorsement process where?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all up there to receive.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell
everybody.
Yeah. Okay. So the people who are running for statewide office are on the California GOP website to receive delegate votes for a speaking slot at convention. And at convention, then they will vote on who they want to endorse. Well, there's been fraudulent activity within that process, and we have proof of it. And so we've been bringing that forward to leadership, and in the process of bringing that forward, someone else, a different candidate, actually first brought it forward, and then a second candidate brought it forward. They both had proof. I then stepped forward with my own set of concerns, and I said, you know, as the Secretary of State candidate, I would like to call for an audit to be done on this process.
A forensic audit.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. That's what I said. A forensic audit on this. And I said I would also like a forensic audit on the vote that got Jessica into office.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at that. And how about let's forward thinking, say that at convention, right when the vote is done, we're also then going to do a forensic audit on that vote.
Right.
Just to make sure we have as much transparency as possible, because transparency breeds trust.
That's right.
And there's a serious trust problem right now. The delegates are all telling me, we don't trust the process. If we don't trust the process, we have a serious problem. And you know what? I've gotten crickets.
Yep.
No one in leadership will even respond. Yeah, it's so weird.
Because they can be removed from their position that they currently hold, whatever that might be. You know, being somebody important wearing a name badge at some conference or something and having all their events paid for.
That's isn't that gross?
That's what they're fearful
gross.
Of. Yes.
Yeah.
They're using all the taxpayer monies and the donations and the contributions that are received.
To live a good life.
To live a good life on the bill of somebody else.
While they sabotage it.
While they sabotage it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, corruption to the core. And it's disgusting to me.
Yep.
You know, it's really refreshing. And we saw a bit of this yesterday. Is there's a lot of people that are running for office that haven't been in office or haven't held a seat. And, you know, that is what the founders wanted.
Right.
They wanted to have that. And I remember, you know, the story of John Adams when he was a one-term president. He got in the coach, and the people in the coach addressed him as Mr. President. He said, no, I'm not the president anymore. I'm just plain old Farmer John. And I think the issue is that when the founders had brought forth their opinion that people should run from society, from the towns, from the villages, those particular people understood a little more than we do now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really were well-educated. They understood how their country worked. They were more astute to how the government works. I mean, when we were going to school, they actually taught the Constitution. You know, we used to take our horses and go to school. Yeah,
you did.
Yeah.
I had cars.
I did have cars.
Yeah, I'm way younger than you.
I took my horse and, you know, went barefooted and...
Appeal but, both ways.
Yeah. But anyway, the thing is that Thomas Jefferson said that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And I see that in you. I see that you're very serious about this. You're determined, which is fantastic. What really prompted you to run for Secretary of State? I mean, that's a big call.
Mm-hmm. Do you want the long answer or the short answer?
It's your party. You've got about 11 minutes to the first break, and we're only taking one, so
okay. It's
up to you.
Okay. So I'm a prophetic dreamer, so I see things in my dreams before they happen sometimes. I don't get to pick what I see, but I see what I see. Okay. So on July 13th of 2019, I saw COVID in my dreams very, very clearly. I saw details about it. I saw specifically that there was an illness being created in another country. They were bringing it into our country under the premise of it just being an outbreak of some illness. Specifically in the dream, it was that it came from a wet meat market. That's how detailed the dream was. And I knew they were lying. I said, they're lying in the dream. They're lying. It did not come from a wet meat market. And then quickly in the dream, the illness was used to steal our freedom. And it made me furious because I could see it for what it was, and other people were being deceived. So I journaled the dream, thought it was one of the weirdest dreams I'd ever had, told my husband, told some friends, and thought, well, that's super weird, shelved it. Well, then about 7.5 months later, we're coming up on, there's an illness that has come in the country from a wet meat market. We need to close down the, hello. Suddenly, it was like, that dream went back, got it, read it, and my jaw dropped because I suddenly knew exactly what was getting ready to happen. So I looked like a complete lunatic because I began telling people, this is not about an illness. This is about taking our freedom. Don't close down. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't put on a mask. Don't take the vaccine. Or do whatever you want. But don't comply for the sake of complying because they're lying to us. And so I looked for like a crazy woman for a little while, but I'm kind of used to that because this is a pattern in my life where I'm a little bit ahead of things, and that's, I don't say that to, I'm not bragging about that. It's actually a very awkward situation for me frequently, So I looked crazy for a little while, and then, of course, slowly people started saying, hey, I think you were right about that. This does appear to be, how come 2 weeks to slow the spread turned into 2 years? So I started a YouTube show a few months into the situation with COVID to talk about it because I just felt like I needed to have more of a voice than just my immediate little circle. So starting that YouTube show led me to meet other people like you guys that also have shows and are talking about things. And that led me to do a prayer-a-thon with other YouTubers who were concerned. And we were praying for the country. We were praying for the elections. We were praying for President Trump. And then the day after we did that prayer-a-thon, which I honestly thought was me and a group of other just kind of nobodies that loved God and loved our country and were concerned. Well, one of those nobodies was good friends with General Michael Flynn, and I had no idea. So the day after the show, I got a call. Are you sitting down? General Flynn would like to have a meeting tomorrow with you and me and two others that were on the show. There were eight of us that were on it, but he'd asked to speak with four of us. He watched the show, and I'm like, what? And I thought, is this for real? I mean, what? Sure enough, the next day we hop on this show, and it was a Zoom meeting, not a show, sorry. A Zoom meeting, and here's General Flynn saying he watched the show, that President Trump had watched part of it. They're wondering if we would do another one, and starts talking to us about what's happening with the country, the need to take it back, and, trying to inspire people to rise up and do whatever their part is. And that led to what now is ultimately a relationship with General Flynn, who has endorsed me, which is amazing. And part of what he said is that I really believe it's going to be the mama bears that are going to turn this situation around.
Yes.
And that so resonated with me because something I kept thinking is I have four sons. And I thought, am I going to pass on to them the free republic that was given to me? I'm thinking not at this point. It looked so bleak and I didn't know what I could do. I did not feel qualified to do much of anything other than talk. And then slowly, I kind of got my courage up to realize, no, I can do more. And I looked at some people in office and thought, they are morons. If they can do it, I can do it.
Welcome to our side.
Yeah.
Our world.
Yeah. It's a little discouraging when you talk with some of the people that are leading and serving us.
Yes.
And then ultimately, it was a calling from God where I really, through a lot of dreams that I was having and a lot of things where God was showing me that he was calling me to rise up and step into this. And so it's a combination of a lot of groundwork being laid and then what I would say a divine calling from God. So that's
awesome.
Yeah, and that story is very compelling. When you think about a lot of people who are in office, and you think about what's happened over the last few years, I think that COVID was a bit of a blessing. It woke up so many people. I know we had so many people standing outside the Board of Supervisors at our meetings. They wouldn't let us inside, then they let us in one by one. They'd be behind polyglass and all this stuff, and we'd go in one by one, and there were mothers out there with children, four children, infants out there, hundreds of people standing outside in the smoke because we had nothing but fires up here.
Yeah.
And that kind of stick-to-itiveness, I mean, you know, you don't want to piss off a mama bear. That's all there is to it.
So true.
You know, you want to make sure that you're going to, you know, that, and that really has been a backbone here for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Red, White, and Blueprint at all? Have you watched the Red, White, Blueprint? I recommend you do that.
Okay.
It shows how we go through the process of recalling a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And
which we were successful at.
We were successful at
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Do you know our current Secretary of State is advocating for us to not be able to recall anyone?
Yes, we do know that. We do know that, yeah. And, well, actually, there are 18 states that don't have a recall mechanism for local government. And I talked to a friend of mine, Jenny Beth Martin, with the Tea Party. And when I talked to her about Georgia, where she's from, they don't have a mechanism to recall a local elected official. So, you know, a lot of the things, as we look at what happens around the United States, there's a lot of things that are, you know, a bit shocking. I mean, I find that to be a right we should have. Now,
and it's kind of surprising that California does.
Does.
No, it's interesting.
It's like, at least, you know, our founders did put some things in place that are actually really great tools as long as we use them properly.
Yeah, the California Constitution is fantastic.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But yeah, I mean, it's been changed 527 times.
I know, but let's go back to the original.
Well, but
I know.
Actually, the original was good, but there are some things in there that, well, you know, back originally we still had 40 senators and 80 assembly people. We only had 417,000 people.
In the entire state.
In the entire state. Now, we also had 50 judges. Well, now, if you fast forward to 2020 or 2021, we have 40 million people. We still have 40 senators and 80 assemblymen, but we have 2,500 judges. Go figure.
Yeah, they got to ramp up the number of judges they have, but we never got to ramp up the legislature.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if we did it by true
apportionment,
we would have 16,000 representatives in Sacramento, not the 120.
Wow.
If we went by the numbers like Maine and Vermont did.
Yeah.
I mean, they're staying true to the numbers. Why can't California seem to do that? Well, because then
centralized power.
That's right, because then the small few group that are being bought off by all these special interests would – they would lose all that.
Yeah.
They would lose every bit of it, and why would they stay in office and, you know, have their 114 or 15, whatever, $1,000 a year job?
Exactly.
You know? So,
Terry, I love, though, how you talked about how COVID was such a blessing because of how many people that woke up. You know how Mike Lindell says that what happened with the election was a miracle?
Yeah.
Because how would we know what they were doing had it not happened the way that it happened?
Yes, ma'am.
It really is a good thing. Yeah. We're awake.
Well, the exposure of it. The disease itself and the killing.
Right, of
that,
course.
Of course, we all agree that. And
right.
We have to articulate that because we have some people that listen and will take it to the bank that, you know, we're saying COVID's a blessing.
Right.
So
no.
We have to pay attention to those details because they will thwart that and use that against us. So we have to be careful on that.
God says He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And all things means
all things.
So even bad things can be used for good. And that's what you meant, I believe.
Yes.
Terry.
Yeah, and I think very quickly, and then we'll go off the break, but I think you're right. I think a lot of people look at Romans 13. They don't understand that we are supposed to be submissive to government, but we are also not supposed to do evil.
Right.
So if you have a government that's doing evil, it's not following God's plan. It's not following God's laws. It's not following what should be done. And people kind of get that skewed a little bit. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that after the break.
And it's your moral and ethical duty to go against it.
Absolutely.
Rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Woo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go ahead and we'll go off to our first break. When we get back, we will take some phone calls. The phone number here is 605-4567, 605-4567, area code 530. We'll go off to our first break here. We do have a caller on hold. Dolores, hold on. Time has come.
451.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first, They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
This is an encore broadcast of Jefferson State of Mind.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working, it ain't handed out for free. Stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
That from Sally Lou? It's from my girl.
She always finds good stuff.
Yeah, she does. That's my wife.
Well, with music. Not
45
you.
Years.
Not you. Oh. She finds the good stuff
what?
With music.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. You know, when I asked her out, I said, do you want to go out with me? She said, no. I said, be different. Say yes. Everybody says no. So
be different.
It works.
I like it.
So we're here with Rachel Hamm, who is running for Secretary of State for the state of California. We have a caller on the line. Dolores, what question do you have for Rachel?
Actually, it's not a question. I actually have a compliment. Everything that she said, I'm amazed to hear what she said, how a real, real true Christian is supposed to be when you're in politics. I'm really impressed, and I have to say those dreams that you have, they're actually called premonitions, and I have the same thing. Everything you said, I believe the same way, and like I said, sometimes it's hard to explain to people your premonitions because they do think you're crazy, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of hard to connect with other people. It's almost you have to keep it to yourself, but you do see what's going to happen ahead. And sometimes they're scary, but you have to understand them to able to know what to do with them, the dreams. And, you know, but I'm so impressed, really am. And thank you for running for Secretary of State. And we need a true Christian and who's willing to expose the corruption and the fraud, and no matter what party is, that's very important too. Because the way you know, because sometimes we within our own party, they're also committing fraud, or they're lying, they're cheating, and we have to. We can't just because they're in our party, we have to cover it up. No, we can't. We have to expose the truth, no matter who they are.
That's right.
And that's what the godly way we're supposed to do. So
thank you very much, Dolores. That's so nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dolores.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wynn, you have a question from the chat room.
Yeah, we have a question from the chat room that says, what is Rachel's thoughts on nullification of unjust or unconstitutional laws? Because as of Secretary of State, she can advocate for nullification of the local Registrar of Voters.
Okay, so, you know, when I signed up at the registrar to get onto the ballot, I had to take the oath of office, which I was not expecting. Mm-hmm. I thought I would take it
when you're sworn in.
Yeah, when you win, right? Yeah. So But and I don't think every candidate has to. I think it maybe is only statewide offices. I don't know, because I talked to other candidates.
I had to do that here locally at the Republican Central Committee.
Everyone does.
So interesting, though. There's other candidates who said they didn't have to do it. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but it was very interesting. It's profound, right? You're taking the oath. I'm getting choked up because it's such an amazing honor to make that oath. And then I immediately switched to being furious. I mean, like, I felt like a rage because I thought, wait a second. All of these people have taken this oath and they are not defending the Constitution.
Right.
And they are passing laws that are violating the very Constitution that they swore to uphold and protect.
Yeah.
And so I am all for, obviously, we must get these unconstitutional laws off of the records immediately. In fact, they should be nullified just on the basis that they violate the Constitution, period. We shouldn't have to even go through a process. If we can see, okay, they violate the Constitution, they're out.
Right.
Like a lot of the mandates.
Yes.
So that immediately, we know if our church should be closed, which I think they're kind of ramping up to do again. Have you been hearing the talk?
Yep.
Another wave is coming. Prepare for lockdowns. Hell no.
Right.
Do not comply. Do not comply. So, yeah, and right now, the Election Integrity Project, which we were talking about earlier, they're suing the state of California for 23 unconstitutional election laws, right?
Yeah.
Get them off
Why
the books.
Why should we have to sue
for
someone who breaks the law?
We shouldn't.
You know, in Article 20.
Why don't we just arrest them?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm working on that. I'm literally working on that.
Good, good.
Well, in Article 20 of the California Constitution, where you took your oath, it's interesting because when you take the oath to the California Constitution, you're taking the oath to the United States Constitution first. The reason for that is in Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, it specifically states that the United States recognizes the United States Constitution as the supreme law of the land, and California is an inseparable part of that. The understanding of the compact we made as states, because the Constitution is a compact of the states. And as Jefferson said, the state of Virginia is likened to the state of France, the state of England, and the state of Spain, which means a state is synonymous with the word country. A contract would be something like Rachel and I making a contract as people. The compact, which is the contract that is performed and put together by legitimate governments, because each one of the states were legitimate countries. They created a product. A lot of people think that the contract is between the federal government and the states. No, the compact is between the states, and the product is the federal government. That's the thing we have to start realizing. The federal government is a product of a contract. It's not part of any kind of contract or compact. And what you said is so true. When you take that oath, you should know what's in this, which is a bummer to read.
California Constitution. Yep, yep.
And this, which is not a bummer to read.
Federal Constitution.
Look at the size.
Yep. I know.
You know? So I think that people need to understand where their jurisdiction is, and I think that's a good point about nullification. You were saying you had some lawsuits. Is there anything you can talk about or criminal activity that you're looking at? Is there anything you can talk about maybe in a generality? Because that's very encouraging to all of us that agree that we're tired of suing people over them trying to take our constitutionally protected rights.
I am not dealing with any lawsuits. I was referencing the EIPCA lawsuit, but I am looking at
arresting
yeah. people.
There we go. That's the
so
question.
If we have public servants, which I love to use that term because
they
need to be reminded they are
servants.
And if we have public servants who have violated their oath of office, is that illegal? Is that against the law? Okay, so I'm looking into a possible way that we can get people arrested who have taken the oath of office and then have violated it.
Want to get the governor arrested?
And then
you know how you do that?
And then removed from office immediately.
Yeah, so what do you
say? United States Code Title 8, Code Section 1324 of the U.S. Code says that be involved in jurisdiction like we're being involved in now with the sanctuary state, the state does not have jurisdiction. And to be involved in that and create a sanctuary state is a felony up to 10 years. Now, the reason it is because in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the United States Constitution, it specifically states that we gave, remember the contract, the compact?
Yep.
This is the product. We gave the federal government the jurisdiction over naturalization, over immigration. They have jurisdiction over that, not a state. A state can't say, hey, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. That's right. Why Brewer in Arizona got in trouble because she said, well, I'm going to put people on the border. Well, you can't do that. Obama was right, even though we didn't like what he did, but he was right because the jurisdiction fell under the federal government because of the United States Constitution.
Well, and they took an oath to protect us against enemies, foreign and domestic. If they're opening the border, which Biden has just said he's going to fully, widely open. You heard that, right? Like, mm-hmm. They open the border. That's a violation of his oath.
Oh, yeah. You can get him on the law.
Let's arrest him.
Yeah. Well, we tried that. I stood out in front of the Capitol, and I'm still here, amazingly.
Congratulations.
So. But, yeah, we did. But, you know, the thing is that, like you're saying, I mean, that's exactly right. And as Secretary of State, you're going to really have some power to make sure that the Registrar of Voters, those people are doing their job.
And actually, let's talk about that for a second, because, yes, as Secretary of State, I'm overseeing all of that, right? But I want to encourage any registrars or Board of Supervisors who are listening, you right now can take action. You don't have to wait for me to be Secretary of State to decertify all of your machines. You can decide right now
exactly. To
do that. The doctrine of lesser magistrate is such an important teaching and principle because people need to understand at the lowest possible level the authority that they have and use it.
And the Board of Supervisors are the executive and legislative body of the county. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they're the process they go through, they have the power, they have the knowledge, well, some of them have the knowledge, but they have the ability to do that, to nullify using the Dominion machines. We could go back to paper ballots.
Yeah, if they just had the integrity and the courage to do it, they would be doing it.
It's all about the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, the nice thing about what you
but
said.
But the money's ours anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it free money?
Nothing's free. Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
Seriously?
Yeah, look at our economy. The money's free, right. Yeah.
I thought it was free.
Such a bummer.
Who knew? Just bursted my bubble.
We're going to have to keep working.
Heck. So, yeah, I think that the position of Secretary of State is so powerful. By the way, it was encouraging to hear that you know some of the people, a lot of the people with the Election Integrity Project of California.
Yeah.
We have one, Bob Holsinger, who is running for the Registrar of Voters, who was with the Election Integrity Project of California. And we've been encouraging them, we're starting to work with them a little bit now, to encourage them to train people so we can put them into the Registrar of Voters. A lot of them have been there for 18, 20 years, 25 years. Run unopposed. People don't know what they do.
Yeah.
And some of the things that happened, I probably won't have time for it. When we get done, I've got a quick funny story you're going to appreciate about that. But we sort of caught our Registrar of Voters with her hand in the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'd be good to remind her that she's taken an oath and that you would like to pursue
action. She was following policy.
Her.
See, this is how they get around it. It's policy. So, anyway.
And where's that policy come from?
Her oath is not to any policy.
No,
and it is not to anybody
not.
In any position. No. It's to the Constitution.
That's right. Yeah, because the only role of government is to secure and protect the rights of the sovereign. That's the only goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even if you have something that may be legal, is it lawful? And if it's law, is it legal?
And is it the highest? Is it the highest truth? If she's saying technically she's following policy, that's technically true. Okay, but is that the highest truth within the situation?
No.
Is there a higher truth? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And she needs to know that.
The baseline, the two constitutions she took an oath to. Mm-hmm. You were talking about changing the law. We can change a lot of things, and it's something to where, you know, you can have this in your quiver, and that is in the California Constitution in Article 18, Section 3. In California, believe in liberal California, we can actually change and amend our Constitution of California by the electorate. We can do it by initiative. Now, not every state has that.
I know. It's interesting that in California we do.
We do. So, there's so many things we've got. It's kind of like you scratch your head.
But now, how much does that cost to do that?
A gazillion.
A gazillion dollars that you and I would have to reach in our pocket to pull out to fund it.
But,
it's a lot of work and a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we can do it.
It's not free.
Another thing that's not free.
So what would be the first thing you'd like to do as our new Secretary of State?
Decertify all the machines. go back to paper ballots, which I have an amazing product that I would want to implement immediately. It's a product that was made by a company named Authentix, and they print money, like for other governments and for all kinds of people that do security notes. And so our Secretary of State Coalition, which is an America First group of candidates rising up to take this position back, we asked them to make it for us, and they did. So they made this amazing product. It has a proprietary blend of clay and chemicals and all kinds of unusual things within the paper itself, so the ballot can't be duplicated and can be proven instantly.
Nice.
So with the whole, like, mass mail-in balloting, even if we cannot get the legislature to reverse that, with this ballot, we still could have a secure, potentially secure-ish election with this one thing. And it has a China blacklight on it, and it has a hologram that comes out, and it's got blockchain technology and security measures, and you can make it where, if we want to, where we can link it to the voter, if you want to, like, set up a security system where you can log in and see, was your vote counted and how did you vote, which
on each candidate.
Yeah, well, because you know, like right now, if you show up to vote and you're told someone already voted in your name,
right? They give
you a provisional ballot.
Yeah.
You fill it out and then you want to know, did my vote count or did the vote that was already done in my name count?
Right.
Or you're not able to find that out. You're not able to find out how you voted.
Right. Right.
So this would make it where we can make it where you only have a way of being able to see your vote and how it was counted and how you vote, actually view the ballot, the I can't remember the name of the term, that when it goes in the picture, anyway, you can go online and view your ballot and see how you voted.
Okay.
So there are some downsides to that, obviously, you know, people being concerned about
being hacked.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe we don't do that part. But at the very least, this paper ballot is secure. But I also want to do away with machines altogether, go back to small precincts with a hand count. I'd love to do, like, precincts as small as just, like, one neighborhood. Like, you know, neighborhood by neighborhood, voting in your neighbor's garage again with paper ballots. Of course, voter ID, but, you know, that has to go through the legislature. But it's common sense. The only reason we don't have it is so they can keep cheating. So if we can get voter ID, small precincts, one day vote, not a month to vote, because all of those things make it just easy to cheat.
That's 17
days after before you get results. That's ridiculous.
Right. Well, then I want to live stream the count. So at the end of the night, you have your neighbor's garage where all those paper ballots are and three different camera angles with three different streaming services in case one goes down or was messed up, with a spot where the camera can see the vote, and in real time you can log into your neighborhood precinct and watch. One vote for Rachel Hamm, one vote for Donald Trump, one vote for and watch the count while your neighbors are counting your neighborhood vote. And it would require a lot of citizens stepping up. Obviously, it'd be, you know, a gigantic undertaking to do. But I think that we're at a place where that actually could happen, where people are actually willing to step up and do that kind of thing, to take it back to that level, to take responsibility for your neighborhood's vote, to have a real-time audit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what that is a real-time audit of you knowing exactly how your neighborhood just voted. And I think that transparency would be so important for reinstating a belief in the system. Right now, no one trusts the system. No
That's
one believes
right.
we have honest elections. Even the left doesn't believe we have one. I mean, when people are being polled right now, the majority of Americans, left and right, both think our elections are stolen. Even people who voted for Biden are saying they think that he didn't get in honestly. It's like, we've got a serious crisis on our hands when no one believes that the system is fair.
Right.
So I think that would reinstate trust. Transparency breeds trust. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
You know, I think a lot of that has merit, and it's like any other really good idea, which that is, you're going to have to still kind of fine-tune it to the legality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the boards of supervisors already have the jurisdiction to get rid of those machines. Can you actually, as Secretary of State, can you actually say, no more Dominion machines, or would that be an encouragement from you and maybe you reaching out to the registrar of voters in the counties of California? How would that work?
Well, that's a little tricky because I am a very small government person that really wants the decision to be made at the local level as often as possible. But then I also know that these systems are open to fraud. So So, you know, ideally I would love to work with the local
sure.
level to
sure.
encourage that decision to be made. But, like, right now, the Secretary of State has told all of the registrars that if they do any kind of forensic audit within their county, she will decertify their machines and they will have to replace them, which I'm like, let her decertify the machines. That'd be great if she decertified them. But that's her threat to them, is that she'll decertify and that they will have to replace them with no funding from her or any help from her to do that. That will have to come out of their own pocket. So they all feel like, well, they can't do it. So they just are.
All the more reason to do it.
All the more reason to do it.
How does she handle
it.
Funding?
Absolutely.
How would she handle funding? Wouldn't that have to be legislative for funding?
I would assume so.
Yeah, because if it's delegated from them, that seems like an empty threat to me.
Probably. I think a lot of what we're dealing with actually are people who they don't actually have power.
They don't know the law.
But if you don't know they don't have power,
right.
then it works.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's why it's important Absolutely. That when you get in, you do a forensic audit on the Secretary of State's office.
On everything.
Just
on everything.
And that's what we're going to be doing here in Shasta County, because as the positions change with the June election, hopefully we're going to have two new people into the positions, and we will be able to just start the forensic process right on the heels of that.
The
we
problem, though, is you know they only have they have to keep the stuff for 22 months. So
right.
from the unfortunately the 2020 election, really time is of the utmost importance. That you know, we need to get it done ASAP if we're going to find out what happened then. But
well, see, and that's why it's critical. So when we have them in place, they're voted in June. They don't come in until January. But we also have...
But we can do the recall election.
And we also have... Exactly. And so we have... Because we just went through one recall. And
a lot of money.
We may be going through another recall here in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
On top of having the two being voted in. So we'll have five new Board of Supervisors.
Wow.
In Shasta County.
Congratulations.
Within the year.
Wow.
So that's a plan that we're really working on. And we have a lot of good patriots, starting with the Mama Bears, getting this all done. And so that's what's been going on here in Shasta County. So we're working toward that end so we can do things exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and do that audit, starting with the elections and then filtering to all the other departments within the county, because our county is way overbloated. It goes from $300 million to $600 million budget within a couple of years.
10.
Why is that?
Yeah.
10 years.
Why
with only
is that?
With only 10,000 more people. So
in
went
the county.
From $300 million to $600 million. And half of that is Health and Human Services.
Oh, boy.
Half of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, Health and Human Services, when you talk about the person who is the director, the chief of your Health and Human Services, guess who hires and fires them? The local Board of Supervisors.
And where do they come from? They come from state agencies.
Exactly.
Mm.
Ours came from, I think, Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not kidding you.
Unplanned Parenthood.
It's, you peel back the onion, you don't know what you're going to get. But, I mean, one of the things you talked about as far as the law goes, and I'll say this really briefly, and that is that we had an issue to where our registrar of voters wouldn't allow some poll workers and wouldn't allow people to work at the polls because of their political stance with the recall. Now, law states that they can't do that. You cannot do that. And I asked the registrar of voters, how come you're doing that? Well, it's policy. I said, it's not policy, but it is a felony. Title 18, United States Code, Code Section 242, under the color of law, using your authority to stop anyone from a constitutionally protected right is a felony up to 10 years. And she was quiet. And she said, well, do I need an attorney? And I said, well, I don't know. Do you? And the point is that once we start looking at these different issues that we can use, and
let's arrest them all.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
amen.
We could all grow to love you, Rachel. That's for sure.
I am so impressed with your knowledge of the Constitution. Wow. I mean, having those numbers, like, wow. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wish everybody knew it that well. I wish I knew it that well. I don't have all those numbers memorized.
It's okay. When I was your age, I didn't know anything. But May Sally stayed with me. So, but anyway, yeah, you know, I'd like you to talk about how people can help you, where they can go. And again, folks, and I really encourage you to share this program everywhere. We're podcasting worldwide, and we want you to share this, because when we have people like Rachel, who's putting herself out on the line, who's willing to learn things, you know, I mean, depth of character, no question, no question. But transparency, no question. So we need to get the word out as much as possible. So, Rachel, you got about 5 minutes. It's your party, lady. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You know, I think it is really important to support those of us who have never held office and are rising up, because we have so much to lose and maybe something to gain if we, you know, if we get to win or not. But really, there's a bunch of us that are rising up. Be encouraged. I want to encourage people. As I'm traveling the state, I'm meeting all of these candidates who are just like me, who are saying, wait a second. I am not going to tolerate this. I'm rising up to fight back. And we're, you know, assassinated by, you know, like the left and a lot on the right. And the establishment doesn't want to let us in. And we have to just fight like crazy to just even be a part of the conversations. And so it is hard. And it's costly. It's so expensive. So really, I do encourage people, support candidates within your area that are running for Congress or Board of Supervisors or anything. And also, don't just support someone because they have an R by their name. I would encourage people to pray. Ask God to give you discernment. Is this person real or not? Like, listen to your gut. I've met some candidates. I'm sitting there on a stage looking at a candidate thinking, you are so full of it. And I know you have an R by your name, but I sure hope you don't win. You know, yeah. I mean, we really need to listen to that God-given gut instinct when it comes to who people really are. And so do that. Be prayerful to have discernment about who to vote for. For me, you can find me at rachelhamsos.com. And Rachel is spelled like in the Bible, RachelHamm. And then SOS, which stands for Secretary of State and Help. We need some help. .com and at Instagram, I'm the Rachel Ham. Getter, the Rachel Ham. Twitter, I'm Rachel Ham SOS, but I honestly hate Twitter so much. I don't want to use it. You know how it is. Like, you have to kind of. But and then on Facebook, I have a Rachel Ham for Secretary of State page. I also have a YouTube channel, but I am being censored right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, we don't know what that's like.
Oh. Oh, man.
Yeah.
On really our podcast, fun. We had 7 of them.
Yeah, kicked off out of there because we're talking about controversial things, you know, like the Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the vaccine, you know, and it was kind of funny because we can use colorful metaphors, but, you know, that was something to where. You guys know what a colorful metaphor is?
Yes, everybody does.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Family show here, Derek.
Okay. So anyway.
We can do that, but we can't speak truth.
We can't speak truth.
That is where we are right now, which is really sad. And then I have a Rumble channel also, the Rachel Ham channel.
Okay. Oh, nice. Okay, very good. Now, also, you've got some activities here in Shasta County for the people that are listening locally. You have some activities today and some things that you're doing and people you're meeting. And have you ever been to Shasta County before?
Yes.
Okay.
I came and went to an event here, gosh, maybe 15 years ago. So it's been a while.
On the bridge?
At Bethel Church.
Oh,
is where
okay.
It was. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's what 15 years ago. That's what I did.
And so do you have anything else you're doing today?
Today there is a fundraiser for me at the Lion.
Red Lion.
The Red Lion. Is it the Red Lion Hotel?
Yeah, Red Lion Inn.
Red Lion Inn. Mm-hmm. There's a luncheon fundraiser there today, and there's going to be some other candidates there as well. And it's actually the first big fundraiser that's just for me that I've had this whole time. Whole time. I've kind of just been doing like all these little traveling, meeting people, shaking hands, showing up, you know, kind of just working the situation. And so this is exciting for me to have an actual real fundraiser. So
that's awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that. And if you're in the area and want to come, I think you can probably still come, hopefully. I don't know. Show up at the door with some cash, and you never know. Maybe they'll let you in. I think the tickets are $55, so if you do want to come.
There you go.
Now, do you have anything else planned in the near future of where you're going to be or people can go see you?
Yeah, let me take a look real quick. I know on April 11th I'm going to be in San Diego. If anyone wants to come to the Central Committee meeting, I'm going to be speaking to the San Diego Central Committee meeting. Also, this Wednesday I'll be in Discovery Bay and in Brentwood. And then February 8th I'll be in Lodi, California.
February?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
April.
It's okay.
April. What month are we
in? We feel your pain. Believe me. We know what it's like.
Seriously,
with that traveling.
Most days I do not even know what month or what day of the week. I'm just like, you know, on the go all the time. So those are the next couple of weeks. And then April 20th, I'll be in Orange County, 20th and the 21st, and also at the I'm speaking at the Republican convention, which, trust me, you're not going to want to miss that.
Sounds good.
I mean it. You're not going to want to miss it. I have something really exciting planned.